So read this one. Is Jackie in the nursery? Is she in the nursery? Yeah. Who can go in the nursery and just take her spot? Okay. Mm. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah, just before like 5 minutes. Julian, you're not sleeping. Come on, get up here, boy. Julian is leaving us, and he's going to Las Vegas to be with his dad. Amen. We'll miss you. I'm going to miss you going to youth convention. I'm going to miss you being around. And I'm going to pray for him and just ask his travels to be good. And he's starting a new school year in August. And so we just want to pray for him. Jackie, you want to say something? Anything you want to say? I just let him know that he's going to Las Vegas to be with his dad and starting a new school year in August. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I just want to thank the church body for being the family that has been to Julian since he came to me at 9 months old. And 13 years later.
I know. 13 years.
He's going to be on a different journey now. So.
Your wisdom teeth haven't come in yet, have they? No, okay. You got a lot of growing to do.
But we're grateful and we're thankful that you guys have embraced him. Some of you were there when he came. And now you're here when he's going. So we're grateful and we're thankful that you guys will keep him in prayer. And we're going to miss him.
We're going to miss him, yeah. Jackie is the aunt to Julian. And the sacrifices that this family has made over the years has been noticeable. And I know you have noticed that as well. And I know you're going to miss her. You always called her your mom, right? You always called her your mom. Because he looked at you that way. You're going to miss him. You're going to have a hole in your heart, too. But I'm going to ask some people to come on up. Julian, why don't you step out here? And we want to pray for him. And let's lay hands on him. And Jackie, too. Jackie, yeah. Justina, you want to come up? I mean, you had as much you had input into this life as well. Oh, Wayne, you all right? Okay, he's good. I think he's good. Thank you. Heather, would you step over there and just make sure he's all right for me? Yeah. But yeah, thank you. Thank you for coming up. And let's just pray for them and ask God's hand to be upon them in this way. Justine, you want to get in here too? Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you for Julian, and we thank you for his life. We thank you for the years that he's been here and the years that we had an opportunity to speak into his life. And we pray, oh God, as he goes on and as he adventures on to be a new place, a new school, to be with his father. And we just pray, oh God, that your hand will rest upon him, that you would minister, oh God, to Julian as he gets situated in the situation and the place that he's going. New school, new friends. I pray that you surround him with Christian friends, those that trust in the Lord, that believe in the Lord. And Father, I pray against any enemy that would try to rise up against this child of God. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon Julian's life. I ask for your divine protection to be there. Allow all influences to be godly. Let no evil influence make any dwelling in his heart. And Lord, we're just praying, oh God, that your hand will rest upon him in his travels. Get him there safely, oh God. Help him get settled in. Lord, help him, oh God, to be a humble man as he grows older in your sight. And Lord, we just thank you for his life and for all that he has meant to us, and we're going to miss him. And I do pray for Jackie. I do pray for Justina, as they are going to miss, oh God, Julian. And Lord, I know Jackie's taking Julian under her wings as her own child, and I just pray, oh God, that your hand will rest upon Jackie, that you will fill that void may not be able to be filled. But yeah, Lord, we're asking you, oh God, to just be with Jackie during this time and watch over, oh God, her. And I know her heart and her concern is for Julian. I just pray that your hand will rest upon her, as well as Justina. And Lord, I just pray, oh God, for her as a grandmother, that your hand will rest upon her as she sees her grandchilds grow and as they grow, Lord, I know it's her prayer and her desire that they'll follow the Lord, that they'll serve God all the days of their lives. So, Lord, we just pray that you be with this family. They're going to miss him, oh God. But, Lord, I just pray, give them the reassurance that your heart and your life, or his heart and his life is in your hands, and we're believing you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We love you. Hang on, guys. Don't you go. And we have another announcement we need to make. Right, Brenda? Right, Jamie?
Yeah, I guess
you want to share with the church? Baby girl.
Oh, they're busy having a baby. So.
And what's her name?
Rosalind.
Rosalind. Am I saying it right? Yeah, I hope I am. Rosalind, congratulations, guys. Yeah, congratulations. Let's do a little clap off. Yeah. Julian, we'll be praying for you, right? You know that. Okay? You know that. Amen. You doing all right, Wayne? Doing good? You probably were ready to snore and fall asleep, weren't you? Maybe not. I don't know. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, God has plans. He has purposes sometimes that we never see, we never understand. But we just got to trust him in all things. Amen. And know that he has a purpose and he has a plan for what's going on and what's happening. Today we want to look at the last part of the series that I've been talking to you about. The seven characteristics of a Joshua spirit, and I will bring this to a landing today. So for those that are saying, Pastor, there's a lot I can preach on this, but definitely this we're going to look at today, the last two. And we're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I'm going to ask you to stand again in honor reading the word of the Lord. And it reads, after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, all of my servants is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite countries to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to your forefathers to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be, successful wherever you go. And do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate it on day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Father, we just want to bow our hearts in a word of prayer this hour. And Lord, we do thank you for your love and your grace. We do thank you for the ability you give to us so we can seek your face. And God, today we just want to honor you, knowing that you are the Lord and Master of our lives. And with this, oh God, we want to ask you to be with us as we take this moment to allow you to work within our hearts and our lives. Father, I'm thinking of many things that will come and distract us from your word. And Lord, I pray all those distractions will be put aside and that your love and your grace will just flow our hearts in a mighty way. Bless the hearers that are here this day. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what your spirit is saying. And Lord, we're going to give you the glory now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. As we continue on the series about having a courageous spirit, I read a story about an Ohio gentleman back in the days of the 1932 oil well caught fire. I don't know if you travel across the country, but as you travel across the countries in different places in farmlands, they have two, like maybe 5-gallon tanks or 500-gallon tanks. And they have a pump that goes in the ground, and they pump up the water and the oil, and it flows into one of the tanks. And as that tank fills, the oil and water separates, because oil and water, they don't mix. And so as those tanks get filled, in a sense, then the oil is lighter and it floats to the surface, and the water, of course, is heavier and is in the bottom. And that 500-gallon tank fills up, and then as it fills up, there's an overflow, and that overflow goes into another tank, 500-gallon tank, where the oil starts to come and starts to collect there. And then the trucks come, like a milk truck comes and takes that oil out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you seen those before? Yeah, they're around. And so I read a story about a man whose oil well caught fire. So he called every fire department within a 100-mile radius and say, if you can come and put out this fire, I'll donate or give you $30,000. So every company within the area came to try to put out this fire. But they couldn't get within 200 yards of this fire because the fire was so intense, and they just couldn't put it out. But there was this fire company from, I think the name of the town is Calcoon, came, the township, a fire volunteer fire department, came and appeared on the scene. And here was this old truck that only had 2 buckets of water, 3 buckets of sand, and a bunch of blankets. It didn't even have a hose to hook to a hydrant. And it comes zooming down the road, and as it pulls up where all the other fire trucks are, they don't stop there. They just keep on going right at the fire. And then when they got close to the fire, they jumped off the truck. They took their buckets of water, poured it on the fire. They took the sand, threw it on the fire. They took the blankets, and they beat the fire until it was out. The oil man was so impressed with this guy, with them, with his fire department. Right away, he gave him $30,000 in cash. Just gave it to him. And he says, I got a question for you. What are you going to do with the $30,000 in cash? And the man that was driving the truck says, we're going to fix these brakes. I hope you got that, right? I hope you got that. You know, I thought about that, and I said, sometimes aren't we thrown into the fire? Aren't we thrown into the midst of fire of lives? They come our way, and we don't cause it to happen, but we find ourselves in the midst of those firestorms, in a sense, those storms that may come in our life. And church, I believe today, the Church of Jesus Christ is so much need of encouragement. This world and everything that's happening in this world is going wonky. And I don't know if that's even a term, but I heard the term. It's going wonky. It's going sideways. But we got to keep our eyes on the author and finisher of our faith. We got to know that our faith is henceforth laid up for him. There's a crown of righteousness for us who believe. And having a spirit of courage is so important today. When we go through storms, we go through trials, we go through hard times, and we see that God encouraged Joshua over and over again, 7 times throughout Scripture, to be courageous. Have courage. Know that I am with you, and I'm going to be there with you through it all. And we've seen that in the life when they crossed the Jordan River. We see it when they conquered Jericho strongholds. We see it when they climbed the intimidating mountains that God asked them to conquer and to possess the land. And we, too, are going to cross the Jordan rivers of our lives, aren't we? We are going to conquer, with God's help, the Jericho walls that may be in our lives. We're going to climb those intimidating mountains that are before us because we know that God is with us. And with God, all things are possible. Amen? So I want to encourage you today. Joshua 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's so important for us to understand that. It's so important for us to have that within our hearts and in our lives this day. So my question to you, and I've been asking you, how do we maintain this spirit that Joshua had? How do we maintain the courageous spirit that God wants us to have? And we looked at 7 of these characteristics. The first one, it was found in Exodus chapter 17. And then the thing that we see in the first courageous spirit, and I'm just going to give you a review, that our battles are fought down here in the physical, but our battles are won where? In the heavenlies. And so the first characteristic of a courageous spirit is this, Having victory in prayer over the power of the devil. Prayer is so important in a Christian's life. Having a prayerful spirit is very key to the victory that God will give to you and give to you at that time. The second characteristic we look at is found in Exodus chapter 24. And it's a willingness to serve God, care less who gets the credit. Humility is so important in the kingdom of God. Just not having a prayerful spirit, like the courageous spirit that Joshua had, but having also a spirit of humility. Not willing to get the credit, giving all the glory to God. The third characteristic we looked at was a willingness to commit and staying in the presence of God. Sometimes things happen in our lives that would try to pull us away from the presence of God. It will try to take us away from the presence of God. And there's a willingness that you need to have in your heart that you'll give up something temporal for something that's eternal. That you're willing for a moment to put something aside so that way the temporal will be done away with and the eternal will be in focus. There's a willingness to sacrifice the immediate for the intimacy with God. A willingness to narrow my interest to seek God's face. Church, there's just something about staying in the presence of God. There's something about it. Worship was great this morning. I love the presence of God. Probably could have worshiped the whole church service today if the worship went on. But yeah, I know the Word of God is just as important because we need the Word of God in our hearts and our lives. But there's something about staying in the presence of God. When we put the internet in the church, I'm just going to give you a little background. When we put the internet in the church, the free Wi-Fi, the question that came up during one of the board meetings is, are people going to be on their devices while you're preaching? I said, I hope not. If they're on their devices, hopefully they're taking notes, but they're not checking their Facebook account or they're checking their mail or anything like that. Well, we can put a block on that so that doesn't happen. You're mature enough. You know, you got to give God your undivided attention. You really do. And it's so important. Today, I was looking at my phone because I wanted to make sure it was cool enough in here. So when I got up and preached, it wasn't so hot. Because my phone, I have a smartphone, and it can control the thermostat. So if it gets too cold, that's only because I'm too hot. No. But nonetheless, God wants your undivided attention. And I want to encourage you, be committed to staying in the presence of God. The fourth characteristic we looked at was the characteristic of understanding that the Lord is with us. God is with you. He's with you. Emmanuel, he's with you. And if he's with you, he's going to be with you through it all. He's not going to ask you to do this on your own. If he sends you to go check out a land that he wants you to possess, if he sends you to check out a job that he wants you to have, if he sends you to check out a home that he wants you to buy, know this, that he's with you each step of the way. Yeah, you need wisdom. You need understanding. The 12 spies went to check out their land where they're going to dwell. They'll be foolish to buy a house without checking it out. They wanted to check out the land, but yet 10 of them had a negative report, 2 of them had a positive report. The difference is 10 of them believed what they couldn't do more than what God could do. And the 2 other ones believed more, not what they could do, but what God could do. And it's so important for us to understand that the Lord is with us. If God's called us, he will provide for you. God doesn't call you to do something on your own without giving you what you need. Provision or whatever it may be to accomplish what he has called you to do. The fifth one we looked at, the fifth characteristic of the courageous spirit we looked at is having the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is so important in your life today. If you don't have the Spirit of God, I would encourage you to be seeking the Spirit of God. Allow God's Spirit to be in your life. Allow him to drive you. Allow him to draw you. Allow him to do something in you that can't be done other than through him. That's what's so beautiful about the Spirit of God. You may say, well, Pastor, I have a hard time praying. Well, ask the Spirit of God to come in and give you a spirit of prayer. Pastor, I have a hard time reading God's word. Ask the Holy Spirit to come and show you what his word says. Because if you do that, having the Spirit of God in your life makes things all clear. I mean, there was something that was revealed to me this morning. It has something that kind of getting off the path here. But a lot of times we read the story where Jesus walked on water. Everyone knows that story, right? Raise your hand. That way I know you follow me. Jesus walked on the water, right? But in all reality, Jesus didn't walk on the water. Jesus walked on Peter's chaotic, troubled water life. Think about that. That Jesus can walk on your waters, your chaos, your troubles, your storms. Jesus wants to be in the midst of your storms. He wants to walk on the waters of your life. He wants to walk on what you're going through. And it's so important for us to understand. It's not that Jesus is revealing himself to us, and which he is, but in all reality, Peter did not receive the blessing of himself of going to Christ unless he asked Christ to bid him to come. So I want to encourage you, when you see in the storms of your life, Jesus walking on your waters, ask him, ask him, ask him. Come, Lord, be in a part of my life. You're walking on the waters of my life. I'm in my own boat. I want to get out of my boat. I want to get out of my troubles. I want to walk to you. I want to be with you. And then the other thing is, you want Jesus in your boat, don't you? Because if Jesus is not in your boat's going to sink. It's going to happen. Kind of interesting, you read a story in Mark chapter 4. I'm getting off on a little trail here. In Mark chapter 4, after Jesus healed the man that was possessed with legions of devils, he was going to the other side, and there were small boats that were following him, and the storm arose. And what happened was, Jesus calmed the storms, and when the storm was calmed, the only boat that was there was his. You know what? You may want to follow Jesus, but if Jesus is not in your boat's going to sink. Because that's what happened with all those little boats. It says all those little boats, they no longer were there. Why? Because they sunk in the midst of the storm. You got to have Christ in your storm. That's probably a sermon in itself. But what is it that gives the spirit of courage that we can face what we face? Being continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Being obedient to the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. Separating yourself from anything that will grieve the Holy Spirit. We live in a day where there's a lot of grievance of the Holy Spirit that has taken place. And it's hard to know the distinction. That's why you need the Spirit of God. So the first characteristic is prayer. The second one is humility. The third one is commitment. The fourth one is understanding the Lord is with you. The fifth one is having the Spirit of God. Now we're going to get on to the sixth one. Hopefully I brought you up to speed. And it's found in Numbers 34. Verses 16 and 17. And it says this, the Lord said to Moses, these are the names of the men who are to assign the land for you as an inheritance, Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. Now you may say, well, Pastor, what does that have to do? This is the sixth time in the scriptures where we find Joshua's name being mentioned. And in this scripture, we find that he was put in charge not by man, but by God, to be the one who is going to have the wisdom and the insight to divide up the land, the inheritance of the land that Israel now was possessing. So Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, were the ones that were responsible for this. Joshua is mentioned here again as a man to divide up the land in the various tribes. Now, some of you may be sitting here today and say, well, that's a menial task, isn't it? Dividing up the land. Very simple. Lay out the map. Get a ruler. You have this much. You have this much. You have this much. You have this much. And divide up the land like a ladder. It's a menial task. Anybody can do that. But you know what? Anybody can divide up the land, but it's only God who can tell who's going to possess the land. And church, I look at this a lot of times in our lives. If I can do an application here for you. In our lives, we understand that God is doing things for us, but we don't understand if God has given it to us. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in our life. There's a lot of things that take place in our lives. And we understand that, okay, all right, God, you've given this to me, but is it for me to keep? Or is it for somebody else? You know, is the word that I received today in my devotion for me to keep as a gold nugget, or is it a word that for me to share with somebody? Because a lot of times when God does give you a word or he gives you a gold nugget, something in the scripture, you can hoard that and keep it to yourself. But if God says, no, I'm giving it to you so you can share with others. Let me make something a little bit more down to earth. Maybe you're going through something right now. Maybe you're battling with cancer. Maybe you're up against some financial needs. Maybe you're dealing with things in your life. And you say, God, is this what I'm inheriting? Is this what I inherited? is this coming my way because this is what I'm inheriting? You know, we're doing the ancestry DNA things, and we're finding a lot of things about that. But we kind of found out that my great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was one of the founders of Wells Fargo, because my mother's name was Wells. Now, I have no inheritance in that at all. I wish I did have inheritance in the Wells Fargo stock somewhere. You know, my brother Paul keeps on saying to me, keep on looking, you might find something there for us. I said, Paul, I don't think so. As well, as deep as a well is, probably your wishes are as well. You know. But there are some things we inherit in life. We don't ask for, but it comes our way. But yeah, God gives it to us for that moment or for that time. And what do we do with it? Do we possess it? Is it for us or is it for somebody else? You know, sometimes when God blesses us and gives us something, we look at that and say, oh, God blessed me with $100. Oh, what am I going to do with it? Maybe God bless you with $100 so you can bless somebody else. I'm not saying this unless God is directing your path, but you get what I'm saying. Because a lot of times our inheritance or the things that God wants us to have, he gives to us, but doesn't mean we're going to possess it. And in this case, Joshua and Eleazar were in charge of giving out the land as God gave them direction, and he gave them direction in a certain way. By the appointment of God, they were to encourage and prepare the next coming generation for the responsibility that they were going to have. You know what the sixth characteristic of this courageous spirit is called? It's called servanthood. Being a servant. Being a servant. I don't say this for a pat on my back, but I'm a server. I like to serve. That's just me. Some people say, Pastor, relax. That's not me. I can't do that. It's not the way I am. It's not my makeup. Servanthood. There's just something about having a spirit of servanthood. A willingness to advance others at the expense of yourself. A willingness to humble and have a meek spirit that finds a need and that meets a need. Counting it as a privilege to be faithful to God and to his people. Knowing that there is no little job in the kingdom of God when it is done for God. And church, don't think you look at the littlest job in the church as being not an important job. I want you to know every little thing done in this church is important in the sight of God. It may not be important in my sight, and I fail sometimes in giving recognition. I don't look for it, and because I don't look for it, sometimes I have a hard time giving it. Not because I don't want to, because I just think, this is what you do. You know, someone says, isn't that a thankless job? I say, I know who thanks me, God. That's all that matters in all reality. My reward is not here on the earth. My reward is in heaven. That's where it is, and I don't want it now. But knowing that there is no little job in the kingdom of God when it is done for God. Be a servant. Let God use you where you're at for the purpose of him. Never take on the attitude, well, somebody else will take care of it. No, if God's revealed it to you, that's because he wants you to take care of it. So many times we just say, I've done it long enough, Pastor. Yeah, but if God is burdening your heart, you're not going to get rid of it. You can't just shake it off and get rid of it. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't. If you're a servant, you know what I'm saying. You're compelled to do it. And that's having a courageous spirit, having a servant spirit. Let me go on to the seventh one found in Deuteronomy chapter 31. And it reads, then Moses summons Joshua and said to him, in the presence of all of Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. This is the final charge that Moses gave to Joshua to have a courageous spirit. This is the final charge of responsibility of leadership here in Deuteronomy chapter 34. It's a remarkable promise, but it's a command that Moses gave in front of the people. It's great to give a word of encouragement privately, But there's something about giving a word of encouragement publicly. There's just something about giving a word of encouragement and letting them know that what they do and what they say is important. And God then gives that recognition in that way. We're all put in that place in one way or another. But it's great when God gives recognition to someone or someone of that charge. And this is Joshua's final charge from Moses. It's a remarkable promise. Be strong. Be courageous. You and the people are going into the land. How can we be sure? How can we be sure that God is with us? How can we be sure that God is encouraging us? How can even Joshua be sure that God is with him? If you read a couple verses before, it says in verse 8, I am going with you. I am going before you. Now, it's one thing for God to go with you, but it's another thing for God to go what? Before you. You know, there's just something about that. There's just something about that. My neighbor, next door neighbor, and you can joke with Ken about this, but he was bush hogging his field and he got his tractor stuck. And then he calls me up and he says, Pastor, can you come over and help me? And I said, where am I going? He says, just follow me. And I'm glad I followed him, because if I didn't follow him, I wouldn't have got to where his tractor was stuck with my tractor. I did everything in my power and prayer to get that tractor unstuck. Guess what? It didn't come unstuck. It's there. It's there. It's there. So I don't know what he's going to do. But the point is that I'm trying to make is this. I had to follow his instructions to get where I needed to get. I thought there was a quick path to get there. But if I went that way, I would have got stuck. So he knew the way I needed to go. I needed just to follow him. God knows the way we need to go. He knows what's best for us. Let's face it. He really does. We may try to figure things out. We may try to say, okay, what do I got to lose? Everything. Follow him. Follow his path. Let him direct you. Okay. He also said in verse 8, I'll not fail you. I will not forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. So it's really important for us to come to that place where we understand that God is with us. No matter how much fear, how much doubt, how much discouragement that may be there, he is leading us and guiding us in that way. It's interesting, the Hebrew word neither be dismayed means neither be confused, neither be beaten down, neither be breakdown, neither be discouraged. Because a lot of times in our lives, we are confused when we're discouraged. A lot of times in our lives, we are beaten down and we can't see the courage that we need to have. Sometimes we get caught up in things that get our eyes off the track. But we need to keep our eyes focused upon him. Because the scripture says he is the what? Author and finisher of our faith. So church, this is the last one I'm going to leave with you as we close out this series. The seventh characteristic is this. You got to trust God. You got to trust God. I know when I was up there in the hospital with Jamie and Jeff, things don't look good. He's in a lot of headaches. That was on Tuesday. They were really concerned. They were taking him in for another head scan to see if the bleed started up again. And I just said to them, you got to trust God. So I said, I knew I was preaching this Sunday, but still, a lot of times what you prepare for, God uses you. Do you find that out? When God shares something with you, you go through it. And sometimes you say, God, I don't want to go through that. That's how you grow. That's how you grow. And that's why I said to them, trust God. Trust God. It's so hard to do, but you got to do it. You got to trust him. Knowing that he's the one that saved you, he's the one that's going to keep you. He's the one that bought you out of the miry clay. He's going to keep your feet on his solid rock to stay. He's the one that's going to carry you, the footprints of the sand, carry you when you think you're all alone. In all reality, he was carrying you. It was his set of footprints that you saw and not your own. So church, you got to trust God. God has a purpose. God has a plan. Again, the seven characteristics, if you don't have them, prayer, humility, commitment, the Lord is with us, having the Spirit of God, servanthood, and to trust God. I want to finish out this series with you today because my wife and I, we celebrated 41 years of marriage last week. And the reason I say that, and thank you for that, but the reason I say that because 41 years ago, as we were celebrating, 41 years ago, as we sat there and we gave our wishes and our love to one another, we remember that day as clear as day, what took place in our life. It was 41 years ago that day that my wife and I, we sat on a rock, like a rock out here, a big rock at a park in West Hartford, Connecticut. And we sat on that rock and we were ready to throw in the towel. We were ready to give up. We didn't want to go forward with our marriage. We were such in a despondent state. I don't know if you've ever been like that. We were in that despondent state, and we were sitting on that rock, my wife and I. We were crying. We were praying. You know, we were seeking God. We say, God, this is too difficult. This is too hard. We just can't do this anymore, Lord. And we didn't know what to do. And I told my wife, I said, we just need to give it to Jesus. And there was a stick by me, and I reached down, and I took the stick, and I made a sign of a cross in the dirt. And I said, honey, we just got to lay it all at his feet. Our future and our life and everything that was going to happen in our lives, we didn't know what God had in store, but we were being tested severely at that time to the point where you just wanted to throw in the towel and give up. And we surrendered it to God. We wept. We cried. We prayed. And God then gave us the release. But as I'm real right now in front of you, this is real, real what happened there. As we sat there and that cross was on the ground, we were looking down at the cross. A snake slivered out from underneath that rock and went by that cross and kept on going. And I told my wife, that's what Satan does. He'll mess up your life. He'll get you off track. Things will happen in your life. If you don't keep your eyes on the cross, on Jesus, you're not going to win. You're not going to be victorious. My wife and I, we remember that because a week later, we were going to get married. And there was a lot on us, a lot on us. Ministry, where we're going to go, uniting two lives together and the ministries that we had. And there was, I can't even get into all of it right now. But the point I want to make is this. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You got to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because if you don't, Satan likes to get in the midst of it all. He really does. So I don't know who that's for today, but I just want to share with you a spirit of encouragement that you can do it. And there have been many other times. I could take the rest of this afternoon and talk to you about the many times that discouragement came upon us and we had to battle it. To get victory, when our son was sick and he died on us two times and God brought him back to life. Many other different things that happened in our lives. I can't even begin to explain that the first church that we went to in Maine, we got in a car accident. Remember that, Mom? You were in that car when we got in a car accident. The car was destroyed, but yet nobody in the car got hurt. I mean, testimony after testimony of what God can do. I want to encourage you. Look to him. Keep your eyes on him because he's the only one that can bring you through. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, Pastor John, I haven't given my heart or my life to Christ. I'm going to ask the worship team for them to come up. And I want to talk to you, if you're either online or maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I haven't given my heart or I haven't given my life to Christ. And today I want to do that. I'm being bold here because I want you to have a spirit of courageousness. I want you to have courage because Jesus was willing to do so much more for you than you would ever think that you could do for him. So as the worship team gets ready, I'm going to ask everyone to bow their head and close their eyes. And if you're here today and you say, Pastor John, I know I'm facing a tough decision today. I want to have courage and I need courage. The storms are raging in my life, and I'm talking to those that are unsaved. But I want you to lift him, listen very carefully, my friend. Though your heart may be speaking louder than anything that's going on in your life, know this, that Jesus will come and give you a gentle voice and call to you the same words that he said to his disciples. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. I am here. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I want you to know, take heart, my friend. It's not me that's speaking. It is He, Christ, speaking. He's saying to you, it is I. I am here for you. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, you say, Pastor John, I need Jesus. I want you to raise your hand, and I want to lead you in a prayer to allow you to get right.